China sells faulty chips to Russia. Tesla taking votes on where to put the next charging stations. Amazon's counterfeit crimes unit busting criminals on video. And what auto manufacturer will be putting spatial audio in their cars? All that and more next on the Computer Doctor Show.
You're listening to the Computer Doctor Show, your source for technology subjects affecting your business and personal life during this new normal. Your host is an award-winning office technician and IT specialist, author, tutor, ethical hacker, and recent winner on localbest.com as the best computer shop in Tucson. Broadcasting live, here's Aaron Moss.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Computer Doctor Show and happy Cybersecurity Month. Computer Doctor Show is your headquarters for scam awareness, science, and cutting-edge technology talk. This is episode 110. I'm Aaron Moss, your host. Thanks for tuning in with us every Saturday at 2 p.m. We post all of our shows and bonus content on computerdoctorshow.com. Again, computerdoctorshow.com. We'd love to hear from you, so give us a call during the show with your computer, internet, cybersecurity comments and questions on our open studio line, 520-790-2040. Co-hosting today is Mike from the Cassie Unscrewed Theater.
Hello.
All right. Good to have you, sir.
Thank you for having me.
All right. And we also have another Mike that we're going to thank. And that is Mike Emery with the team at Perfection Auto Works for all of your car's needs. Mike Emery has found the dream team of expert professional auto technicians in Tucson so they can get it right the first time. So don't waste your time or your money at other suspicious shops. Take advantage of their free 26-point inspection at Perfection Auto Works. And for an appointment, call 520-323-8650. Again, 520-323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com. We have some interesting stuff happening in the technology world this week, starting with China is selling faulty chips to Russia. And So there was a chip failure rate of approximately 40%, according to a Russian national daily newspaper. So, of course, China has lots of different markets. They have the upfront market, which is the general market, and then there are these gray and dark markets that they're involved in as well. So apparently, the chips were being purchased on the gray market by Russian electronics manufacturers from Chinese sellers.
Hmm.
So they're trying to save a buck here and there, and that's where it pays off. It doesn't pay off that much. So you really have to figure out where is the line of quality. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that when we get into our Amazon section.
Yeah.
But it does seem that those sellers are taking advantage of the situation to dump broken parts on Russia while making a profit.
It would sound so, because, I mean, 40%, that's a huge defect rate. They must have just been stockpiling them in the side, right?
Right. Almost like, I'm going to make another reference to this later in the show when we're in after the break, because there is some connection with it. But my question is, when things go wrong on a dark market, where's the customer service?
Probably not. It's what's the word? Buyer beware.
Buyer beware, and even if you try to return, and by the way, I don't think there's any returns in the dark market or the gray market. There's no returns. There's no guarantees. No warranties.
Right.
There is a level of, I will say, name recognition. There are brands that typically perform better. And then even within the dark market, gray markets, there are some customers that frequently buy in these markets that will look for the brand. Even if it's the dark brand, okay, there's still somebody in that organization that actually does care about somewhat of the quality and consistency of the product.
Right.
And they actually embed their you know, their name or their, what's the word I'm looking for?
The logo or something like that?
The logo, yeah. Well, I guess it is the brand, the branding, basically.
Right.
So apparently that happens in the gray market. How about that? Also, Tesla is taking votes on where to put the next charging stations. So there's been lots of talk and plans for electric vehicle charger locations. I know here in the state of Arizona, the Arizona Department of Transportation is having discussions of exactly where along I-10 and some of the other I-19 and other major thoroughfares throughout the state, so that people with electric cars can actually travel throughout the state in an electric car without the threat of running out of charge.
Running out of charge, right.
So CNET reported that Tesla launched a website devoted to the supercharger election yesterday, where you can set up five votes for the cities you think should have a station. There's a leaderboard on the right side showing which city has the most votes. Currently, it is Bear Lake, California, with over 2,100 votes, and Bellazzo, Italy, isn't far behind, and all three of the top 10 cities are in isn't far behind, and three of the top 10 cities are, okay, three of the top 10 cities are in Germany. Okay.
Oh, gotcha.
So there's a lot of interest in electric vehicles in Germany.
Yeah.
And I have not traveled to Germany. Have you been to Germany?
I have not. No, okay. But I understand that they have a very aggressive green policy. They're trying to decarbonize much to all of their industries at a higher rate than a lot of other places.
Okay. And I believe that that's probably the reason why it's receiving all these votes.
Yeah.
So that's a very interesting thing to take a look at. So go ahead and Google Tesla charging station voting, and you can take a look at that website. It was set up just yesterday. Also, there is a video on the Amazon website. We'll post this on the computerdoctorshow.com website for today's episode links. Now, just about anything can be counterfeited this today.
Yeah.
You know, and this is not a new problem. Okay, anything from clothes to musical instruments, computer parts, cleaning solvents, hygiene products, you name it, it can be counterfeited pretty much.
Yeah.
So here is something of particular interest when it comes to auto parts. Okay, there's
right.
a lot of people out there, a lot of counterfeiters that are counterfeiting auto parts. So what Amazon has decided to do, because a lot of these counterfeiters are using Amazon as their selling platform.
Oh, right.
So Amazon is in a tough spot because they know that if they allow fake items to be sold as real items on their website, they can be charged in cooperation in counterfeiting crimes.
Right.
So Amazon had to, they were pretty much forced to form the Counterfeit Crimes Unit, which is an intelligence agency that collects evidence of counterfeiting and partners with enforcement agencies from around the world.
Wow.
Because they are a worldwide marketplace,
right.
To track down the fake merchandise and remove them from circulation. So we're going to post a link on the Amazon website where they actually show a video of the Amazon Crimes Unit actually in action.
Hmm.
So they're... this particular one happened in California, where they were somebody was counterfeiting these Chevy SUV grills, front grills for,
okay.
for your car. Now, obviously, everyone knows that if you ever go to the dealership for any type of parts, they're going to be the most expensive at the dealership.
Without question.
Yeah, so people are always looking for alternatives or good enough, you know, alternatives. And many times it can be half the price, a third of the price, sometimes a quarter or less than
yeah.
the price. But if it performs the same way, you know, people are thinking, well, what's the big deal?
What's the real difference?
Well, the big deal is that the original manufacturers, they know what the tolerances of these materials are.
Right.
So a plastic grill that just goes in the front of your car, it may not be able to perform the same way that the original materials would. And the company that knows what those original materials are the ones that originally designed it.
Right.
Okay. So if you have some other person who's just digitally, let's
recreating
be honest,
it.
They
yeah.
can recreate it, they can mold it, they can 3D print it now,
yeah.
you know, and, it's one thing if, like, the company is, like, out of business, right? Let's say that you have an old typewriter, okay? Typewriter company is out of business, but you still like to use a typewriter. Where are you going to get the parts for when it fails? The gears, you know, the screws, you know, all the different parts that make it up. There are companies out there that pick up the slack.
Yeah.
They legally, they can sell the rights over to it.
Sure.
you know, someone can buy the rights to have all of the all that information, and then they can legally, you know, go ahead and remanufacture everything. But these are places. What the Amazon Crimes Unit is doing, they're tracking down these people that do not have the permission to recreate these products and sell them as real.
Gotcha.
So the real question is, where is that line?
Mm-hmm.
Where is that line that says, okay, this is not okay. This is dangerous. This product is something that I'm putting directly on my skin or my body.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that I'm giving to my kids to either put on their body or to eat, or it's an ingredient in something that I'm cooking. Where does the line get drawn to what is acceptable and not acceptable in society and in public? And what is the responsibility of Amazon's to accomplish these things? So that's where we are with that. So, So here's the question. What can you do? Like when you're shopping around, what do you do to figure out if something is fake or not? Or do you have a process when you shop?
Not really. I mean, I shop on Amazon just like everyone else. And if I'm looking for a replacement battery, a headphone or something like that, I shop by price often. So I mm-hmm. filter by lowest to newest. And the lowest one that says compatible with.
That looks decent.
That looks okay. I'll probably click on it. Because first of all, I don't have enough technical knowledge to understand, for a battery impedance or heating ratios, or if it's going to be more prone to catch fire or something. I would never know it in the first place.
Right.
So I wouldn't know what to ask.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
So here's an interesting story, and then we're going to take a break. But from time to time, I get to talk with original equipment manufacturers directly on the phone.
Right.
When I have customers that come into the shop and they need something special that it can only be purchased from the manufacturer.
Original manufacturer.
So I had this guy that came in one time, and he says, I need the battery replaced. And sure enough, the battery was very, very weak. It did need to be replaced. But he said, I want an original battery. I don't want something compatible from Amazon. I want it from directly from the manufacturer.
Right.
So I had to call HP. I was trying to get their original. Usually they subcontract another subcontractor to
make the parts.
To make the battery, to sell the battery directly, and then you pay them, they ship it out, and you put it in. So I was on the phone for maybe 2 hours with HP. Finally got the call escalated to somebody that says they don't make batteries for that model anymore.
Oh, wow.
And then you know what he said? Go find it on Amazon.
Go find it on Amazon.
Yeah. So even it's even gotten to the point where even the manufacturers are starting to understand that there is a that's where people are going anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're not, why would they try to go ahead and make all these batteries if nobody's going to buy them?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And eventually they will go bad on the shelf.
Sure.
If nobody buys them, everyone's just buying them on Amazon anyway.
Right.
Let's just shut down this battery manufacturing thing, and we'll just refer everybody to Amazon.
Yeah.
That's where it's going. But we're going to take our midway commercial break with a word from our sponsors. Up next, science and tech history from this week, and which auto manufacturer will be putting spatial audio in their cars. This is the Computer Doctor Show. We'll be right back.
Hey, look what just pulled up.
Hello, gentlemen. I'm Herman Munster. That souped-up car out there is just like me. It has parts from all around the world. can you fix it? I must admit, that's quick, friendly service. He didn't waste any time getting right on the job.
Hi. This is Mike Emery at Perfection Auto Works. Don't let your car be a monster and leave you stranded. When it comes down to auto maintenance, we won't scare you into unnecessary auto or truck repairs. Just a free inspection, a free estimate, and the facts. And you make the right decision. Call 323-8650. That's 323-8650. Or perfectionautoworks.com.
Computer Doctor of Tucson is the best choice in desktop support in Tucson. They fix error messages, power and boot problems, install of software and hardware, and much more. You can come to them, or they can come to you, or even have a remote support session so they can fix your issues over the phone quickly. Give them a call at 261-5508, 261-5508. Visit them on the web at ComputerDoctorTucson.com. Computer Doctor of Tucson. Because technology is great when it works.
Welcome back to the Computer Doctor Show, your source for scam awareness, science, and cutting-edge technology talk. I'm Aaron Moss, your host, along with Mike, co-hosting today from the Unscrewed Theater. Before we get into the next segment, Mike, what's going on at the Unscrewed Theater these days?
Well, Unscrewed Theater, we are back open to the public. We do shows every Friday and Saturday at 7:30, all ages appropriate shows. Twice a month, we have uncensored version of our shows on the second and fourth Saturday, which is happens to be today. So if you have a 17 plus and want to come enjoy some adult fun at 9 o'clock tonight, that's open as well. We're located at 4500 East Speedway.
Okay, great. And as you're driving by there, you might see the sign that looks like it's upside down, but it's actually...
It's the right way we're designed.
Yeah, that's the way. that sign's upside down. No, it's not, what does that say? Oh, Unscrewed Theater. Okay.
And look at how you just interacted with
there
it.
There we go. It works. Okay. Here is our segment about science and tech history. So, Mike, you have the list. What do you have there?
I do. Let's see. October 23rd, 2001, 21 years ago, the first iPod was released.
And did you have that? Did you buy the first generation?
I have never owned any MP3 player of any kind.
Is that right?
Yeah, I've listened on my computers at home.
Yes.
But I never had a portable device.
And there are Apple iPod first generations being sold at outrageous prices on eBay. Mm-hmm. Apparently, they have some sort of resale or nostalgic value that some people just value more. Mm-hmm. They work pretty much the same, very, very similar to other ones, other than because I have Apple Music on my phone.
Right.
So I just use that, but I've always had the Apple Music section as part of my phone does.
Right.
So I've never actually had an iPod either.
Yeah.
But there are some people out there that they are very, very critical. I know a customer of mine, and she lives and breathes on her iPod. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the first iPod is still a great product, and the only really improvements that they've made is that they've made it sleeker. They've made the buttons a little bit different, and more memory.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much all you can do. So, yeah. All right. So what else do we have there?
October 24th, 1861, 162 years ago, Western Union completes the first transcontinental telegraph line across the United States.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So back in those days, where this is before telephone, before internet, it was all telegraph.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you can be at home minding your own business. You get a knock at the door, and there'd be a telegraph delivery man there.
Right.
Okay, and when you got a telegram, it was actually a big deal because that meant that somebody felt that it meant more for you to get it quickly. It was something like emergent or urgent news that came from a far distance, you know. So in some cases across the country. So at that time, it was only available to certain villages that actually had an end of a telegraph. Or what they would do is they would send a telegraph to a nearby city, and then they would send a person by horse or carriage to the end spot.
To deliver it, yeah.
For the delivery. And I believe that President Lincoln actually had use of one.
Mm-hmm.
There was a telegraph station right in the White House.
Right in the White House, yeah.
I'm not mistaken there.
I think you're correct about that.
Okay. All right, what's the next one there?
October 25th, 2001, 21 years ago again, Windows XP was released.
Okay, so here's the thing. Ironically, it was also 21 years ago, the first iPod, and then 21 years ago, Windows XP was released.
2 days
which
later.
One is more valuable?
Well, which one is who's has a made the test of time, right?
Yeah, exactly. So we're not even going to answer that on there. We know.
We know.
All right. So those that's some history for us. Yep. Also, some other interesting days. What else do we have there?
October 21st was one of the two Back to Future dates.
Okay. So for the nerd aficionados out there, those that are fans of the Back to the Future trilogy, in Back to the Future 2, when Marty and Doc and Jennifer go back and go into the future, there, the date that they pushed into the time machine was October 21st, 2015.
2015,
which was yesterday. So that is one of the two Back to the Future dates. And the other obvious Back to the Future date is November 5th, 1955.
55,
that was
right.
The date when Doc invented the flux capacitor.
Right.
So, okay. All right. Enough of that. One more. What do we have there?
The last one. October 23rd is National TV Talk Show Day.
Okay. Now, what is your favorite TV talk show of the present or the past?
I don't watch much in the present. In the past, I have watched some Oprah. I've watched some Donahue way back in the day.
Ah, so you took Donahue. Now, he was the one that pioneered the idea of
the
talk show.
He really did. A daytime, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was quite popular and had some really interesting conversations.
I saw a couple of episodes of Donahue, Oprah Winfrey, then got Rachel Ray, and also, what was the other one I said before the show? There's the weird ones. Those are the... Maury Povich and the
Jerry Springer.
Jerry Springer, yeah, those were like the weird ones, but yeah.
Those are more spectacle than talk shows.
Yeah, not based in reality.
No.
But they've all been replaced by reality TV shows, so that's
very
pretty interesting.
So. Yeah.
Okay. Here's some quick announcements. Elon Musk stated recently in an interview that when he buys Twitter, he plans to cut. Not 25%, not 50%, but 75% of the workforce.
Oh, geez.
So, 75%, okay? So, I don't think the workers at Twitter are getting too eager about him buying them up.
No.
Okay? But these... but, you know, Elon can is known for his extreme super... efficiency abilities.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, look at the products that he's putting out. Look at the productivity that he puts out. If he's able to do high productivity with 75% less workforce, this is, you know, we're dealing with somebody beyond human thinking.
Yeah, you would think. Well, it'll be interesting to see how that all falls out.
Also, scammers are out for blood, taking advantage of Medicare open enrollment. So, I believe right now is open enrollment. So if you are trying to enroll in Medicare, you should make sure that you're initiating the phone call or initiating the on the authentic websites that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
Scammers are using open enrollment to steal identities of applicants.
Oh, right.
So make sure that you're speaking to somebody real. Okay, because it's a very, very easy way. And scammers know that you're going to be very forthcoming with your information for it. One more quick thing before we close. Which auto manufacturer will be putting spatial audio in their cars? And it is Mercedes.
Hmm.
I'm a little bit concerned about it because spatial audio actually has the ability to make sounds come from different parts of your car.
Right.
And when you're driving and you hear a honk, you want to know where it is. So mm-hmm. I don't know how they're going to go around that.
Yeah.
Before we wrap up, I just want to thank our sponsor, Perfection Auto Works, again for sponsoring our show. Stop by their location at Speedway Craycroft for your free 26-point inspection. As always, don't click unverified links in emails or text messages. Use a password manager. Always look at the address bar. Check activity on your bank statements on a regular basis. Enable two-factor authentication. Verify all incoming and outgoing calls. Back up your system to the cloud and listen to the Computer Doctor Show live on Saturdays and posted as podcasts on Tuesdays. If you missed any part of this episode, go to ComputerDoctorShow.com, click episodes, and find episode 110. My name is Aaron Moss, your host and technology expert. David co-hosting today from the Unscrewed Theater. Tom Fairbanks is at the control board. Stay safe, enjoy the rest of your weekend, and we'll talk to you again next week.
You enjoyed this episode of the Computer Doctor Show. If you missed any part of this live broadcast, we post all our episodes online at computerdoctorshow.com. Remember, the world is getting more and more tech, and so should you. To stay current with technology, listen to the Computer Doctor Show each week for local and global tech insights. If you have suggestions for a topic on a future show, send us an email at info@computerdoctorshow.com.